A grim anniversary will be marked tomorrow, 3 years since the war in Syria began, from democratic uprising to destruction of the country. Those who could leave fled, but many weren't as lucky. So how do things look today, and how did Syria come to this? We often check in with Amr Al-Azam about Syria. He's a professor at Shawnee State University, and he is Syrian. He's also a member of the Syrian opposition in the U.S. Professor Azam, 3 years on, hard to imagine these horrors back when Syria positioned itself as another domino to fall in the Arab awakening. Where do things stand today?
I must say things stand pretty poorly today, Marco. It's quite grim, to say the least. Today, you know, we're marking the end of the third year. The diplomatic process has gone nowhere. Geneva stalled, as you know. And worse still, the conflict on the ground is continuing in the most appalling manner. And there is no end in sight, unfortunately.
And even just reining in Syria's chemical weapons, which seemed like a start to defusing things, now it looks like the deadline of June is going to be missed. I mean, why can't things be turned around in Syria?
The problem, really, I think you can break it down into three failures. On the political level, what went wrong is that the Syrian opposition, I think, itself failed to create the necessary vision and the necessary strategies that would allow it to essentially create the necessary momentum that would bring a large mass of the Syrian population that's still sitting in the middle, that is still undecided or then was undecided, to its side and then push or topple the regime, if you wish. Also, it failed to convince effectively many of the international community of their seriousness and their viability as an alternative to the Assad regime. Which brings me to the second failure, which is the international and regional forces. The international community and the regional actors also failed, I think, to address the Syrian conflict with the necessary seriousness that such a conflict needed and ultimately allowed it to degenerate into the state that it is in today. And the third degree, I think militarily, I think also the opposition failed to deliver on what it had basically intended, which was to militarily topple the regime.
I mean, Amr Al-Azam, it's interesting to hear you say a lot of this has to do with the opposition because you're in the opposition. So are you taking the fall for the failures?
I think we have to take a part of the blame. Yes, we should take a fall for that. But also, I would also argue that the international community failed deeply and greatly in helping the opposition develop the necessary mechanisms and structures it would need to basically deliver what it was supposed to do. And they also failed in helping the opposition, the military wings of the opposition, if you want, with the necessary resources to be able to also achieve what they set out to achieve. But ultimately, if we want to play the blame game, the biggest blame goes on the regime itself, because it is primarily responsible for bringing about this catastrophe in the first place.
How does it feel for you personally to have been following the Syrian war for 3 years and from a distance? I mean, this is your own country.
It's very frustrating on many levels. On one level, it's frustrating to see things that I loved about Syria being destroyed or you know, I mean, particularly here, I'm thinking of the cultural heritage. I mean, remember, I'm originally an archaeologist by trade, and to see so many sites, archaeological monuments, cultural heritage monuments being destroyed, robbed, pillaged, is very painful. But then also on another level, there's a deep sense of frustration that a lot of this could have been avoided had certain steps been taken at certain points.
Professor Amr Al-Azam at Shawnee State University, always good to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you.